You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Around the NFL podcast. Doesn't care too much about what others think.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. You know, this was one of the great, like, shocks of my career occurred on Tuesday night, doing my assignment, which I've been doing since 2012, writing Hard Knocks review. Ricky, do you have the clip from Hard Knocks this week?
I'm really not satisfied. I want a lot more.
That guy's going to blow up this year. Mark my words. Take him in your fantasy drafts.
I'll go with a guy who has it, CeeDee Lamb.
Yes, that was the old Zeuser's voice talking about CeeDee Lamb, and it was a taken from the Around the NFL broadcast, and it was Mark in the shot and Connie in the shot and Greg not in the shot. So let's just break it down there. Very cool that ATN made Hard Knocks. That felt like a real career achievement. Greg, I do feel bad about the timing of it because you're not someone who takes a lot of vacation. That was just that one show.
Yep, never will visit my parents again. that second on Hard Knocks. I think it's just the first of many, though. You know, I think it's great. You got the big talk. You got the vocal. You know, you got the words out there. That's the big spot. So next time we'll be back on that again. I don't want to be like I saw someone in your mentions very upset, like they weren't on it. That's a bad look.
Who is someone? Just a person off the street?
Someone else? No, within our company on the talent side. Because Patrick Claibon, another friend of the show, had a nice cameo.
Really on as it, well. On it. He got the camera. Yeah.
Not only did Claibon get on the show, he was actually, because he was on the scene at camp, and they had the tight shot on Claibon's beautiful face.
Handsome man.
It's almost annoying how good-looking Patrick is, in addition to nice and smart and good at his job. But I'm in the weeds. Awesome. The Claibon's there. Someone else at the company that works for the company that was at that camp has yet to get on the show.
I have to ask you, Dan, your reaction.
Let's get Jane on the show. Get Jane Slater on the show, Hard Knocks producers. I mean, if we're going to bring it up, it's true. She's been covering them. If you're covering them, you're looking for that shot where you like ask the question at the presser.
Let's get Jane on too. We'll ask her like how mad she actually is. I want to find that out. What's that, Mark?
Well, no, I was just going to say, you have been extremely pro Hard Knocks. I have been if anything, milquetoast in my reaction to Hard Knocks from its inception. What if they had grabbed a soundbite where I happened to be saying something about CeeDee Lamb with you sitting there and not saying a word? What would have happened to, how would we have handled that?
I think we would not be talking about this right now.
It would be, no, it would not be part of the show.
It would be like when the NFL Network did a commercial of around the NFL and Dan didn't have a speaking line in that commercial and he immediately complained about it.
I never complained to anyone outside of you guys, but that wasn't believed.
Well, suddenly there was
here.
A new ad like a fortnight later, so maybe it was just mystical powers.
But I will say this, Mark, that had to be a bit bittersweet for you because it is the show you hate more than any other show in the world. So for your face to be on, it had to be something like, it's cool that I'm out there, but I hate this show so much.
Well, number one, I don't hate it, but my dislike for it certainly lessens when they're featuring me on it. I'm cozying up to it. I'm going to watch it again. It's a good product.
Maybe they're listening to this podcast and they're like, we know how to get Sessler.
Smart. You know, let's go Rams. Invite me to some games. Bring me into your luxury suites. You know, everything will start to change.
Coming up on... So that was cool, though. That was very cool. You know what else is cool? Connor Orr. That's our buddy. He hasn't been on the show in a minute. He will be on the show today when we unveil team slogans for the 2021 season. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But before that, let's do some news.
I have a big legal file full of newspaper articles of why I was breaking up with the Cincinnati Bengals about 10 or 15 years ago.
You broke up with the team yourself?
Yeah. Well, I feel like they kind of left me at the altar and gave me no choice. If they're not going to love me, why would I love them back?
So they
I don't want to be Charlie Brown.
And you ran.
Yeah, I'm not going to be their Charlie Brown.
Oh, man, it's so good to hear Wes's voice. That, of course, ties back to the major development earlier this week when you told the story about Chris Wessling's divorcing the Bengals dossier that Lakeisha rescued out of a trash bin at NFL Network headquarters last week. And yes, we wondered, we talked about it on the show, Greg, like when did we even start talking about the dossier? We brought it up for the first time in forever last week, and it ended up being a faithful reference. It was indeed the first year of this show in 2013.
Yeah, one of our listeners pointed out it should have been around October 13th. He found a tweet of yours, and we'll have a nice little ending to our show here. Our listeners can wait for a little callback there.
I said to Erica yesterday, it was just so nice to hear Wes's voice. I don't think we've played his voice on the show since he passed. So I'm sure the listeners enjoyed that as well. And as Greg said, we'll play a little bit of a longer clip of Wes talking about his dossier at the end of today's show. All right, let's get to the news. Let's start with some crushing injury news for my beloved New York Jets. It surrounds Carl Lawson. Unblockable in training camp, in other organized team activities. He seemed to be the guy that was going to break, yes, that streak. The Jets have not had a big-time premier pass rusher since John Abraham left in 2006. And Lawson was going to be that guy and be the key for Robert Saleh's defense. Well, I don't think so anymore, because Lawson, during a joint practice with the Green Bay Packers, heard a pop in his Achilles, carted off the field. We're waiting as we record this for the results of that MRI, but it does not sound good. So Lawson signs a 3-year, $45 million contract in free agency, and it looks like his first year with the Jets might not ever get off the ground, and I am dead inside.
Such a bummer.
I mean, you look at like
the... I don't want to be around anymore.
Stop it, Erica.
It is, because I don't know. Like, I loved this signing when it happened. I loved everything I heard about him this training camp and off season. I thought he was undervalued. As much money as they paid him, I thought it was going to be one of those free agent deals that ends up being even better than you think. As we're taping this, as you mentioned, Dan, we are still waiting for final word. Usually these things don't go well when they think it's going in a certain direction. I tried to ask around, and I think there was some question whether there could be a better scenario than worst case, but we'll see. And it's a killer for them because I think they need that defensive line to make up for the secondary. It's like
and him specifically.
Right.
He was such a key.
Your coverage is going to be as good, I think, as your front end or vice versa. And we know the back end of the Jets defense has problems. So they needed the front line to make up for it. And if Lawson is out for the year, that's going to be a lot tougher.
And you give Joe Douglas credit because he put a lot of money into Lawson to solve that eternal pass rushing void. But he's put a lot of money into C.J. Mosley, too. There's been terrible luck with these big name players that they brought in to alter their defense. And, you know, when they talk about Achilles, a lot of times, like, you know, I saw a tweet from someone who is an on-field trainer that says, you know, right away, you'll go get the MRI, but
it rolls up. The Achilles rolls
up.
Yeah,
just you know. And so I imagine they do. And it's, you know, I know that you have to do these practices. We have to do these preseason games. But I start more and more to side with these coaches that just keep their star players out of as much action as possible. It's tougher for the Jets. They're learning a new scheme. You know, Lawson's in a new scheme.
What are you
going to
do, though?
It's
impossible.
You can't not practice.
I'm not saying that. The one thing that I find annoying for specifically like a hard-bitten Jets fan base is that you're sort of waiting around for killer news to arrive before week one. And it just seems like every couple days there's one of these. And, you know, yes, you have to practice, but last year there was a lot less of this and it was fine.
Sheldon Rankins was carted off, too, but there wasn't less injuries. In fact, I don't want to spit in the sky, as your mom would say, Dan, but I was thinking how this training camp's been thankfully devoid of a lot of major injuries. So was the first week of the preseason. And I am a little more of the school in terms of even playing preseason players like the Patriots and some other teams do that. It's like, ultimately you have to play football to like play football. And whether it happens now or in week one or week three, like it's terrible for the team and for the player, and there's no way to avoid it. I do think there's something to the fact of like the way the players train and how muscular and big they are now. Maybe that does lead to more of these types of injuries than used to happen in the 70s and 80s, which if you go look at the numbers, there really are. But that's something you can't avoid. I don't know what you do about that.
No, it's not fun being a Jets fan, and I'm not going to turn this into a pity party, but it's
Sheldon
just
Rankins
like,
was also carted off today too, and he's a guy with an injury history who they're hoping to start. It didn't sound as serious, but he did have a pretty possibly serious injury.
I don't know, man. It's just like sometimes it just makes you wonder. It's just how does it always happen to the Jets? And he did, and Joe Douglas was not responsible for the C.J. Mosley signing. That was Mike Maccagnan, but it was the same deal where C.J. Mosley signed this big contract, came over from the Ravens, was the star of training camp, was absolutely dominating in his first game in week one, and then popped his groin and missed the entire year with it, and then opted out last year, and it's just been like, okay, so that didn't work. Lawson, same thing, dominant throughout training camp. For him now to go, every Jet fan knows that the ceiling on your season, which already wasn't high necessarily, just went down significantly because he was kind of the Jenga piece of everything Saleh's trying to do. And they'll be trying to play catch up all year as a result. So I'm pissed.
Curious to see Mosley, by the way. We haven't mentioned C.J. Mosley in a long time. I am curious to see him this year. This was one of the best inside linebackers in the league at one point, and he will be playing on this Jets team. So I am curious. He could give them a little bit of a boost there.
One star of the Jets pass that I'd also didn't work out is Jamal Adams. He has now signed a new contract with the Seattle Seahawks. This went down a little earlier in the week. It's 4 years, $70 million. Very good money for Adams, who is now, as expected, the highest paid safety in the NFL. And it is not, I guess it's not at the level money-wise as the true superstars might get, but that's a product of his position, and it doesn't really matter ultimately. The Seahawks needed to get this guy back on the field, and now he's there and he's paid, and they can go forward.
I feel like there's like a lot of negative reaction to this. I get that Jamal Adams is a little ponderous, and you know, seems to always be talking about money, but that's also like 98% of the players in my book. But he's getting paid less than Darius Leonard, as we mentioned on our network show. who got $20 million a year. And like everyone glowed over that year, that deal, and looks at the Colts front office, is forward thinking. And yes, I get the Seahawks were kind of jammed into this. That's the part I don't like, is that they kind of just got stuck into this thing where, let's say he had declined last year, I think they still would have been kind of hamstrung to overpay him. But he made a big difference on the field last year. It's like, this is a great player if he's put in the right position. I don't hate the contract. It's not that much money for someone who could be the center of their defense.
Most safeties are underpaid. I thought they had a good team-friendly contract. If you really look at the true guarantees, it's closer to $20 million. I mean, it's actually almost shocking how little it is compared to some of the tackles that signed. Like, Nate Solder had a much better contract than Jamal Adams signing with the Giants years ago. Safeties just do not get paid. There's a lot of good safeties who are about to become free agents. Tyrann Mathieu, Jesse Bates, Harrison Smith, Marcus May, and they're going to all slot in probably under Jamal Adams. So I think it's a good bargain. He's a unique player who I think has a coaching staff too, who will know how to use him and kind of max him out the next few years.
In other injury news, bad injury news. No injury news is good injury news. Tevin Jenkins, the second round draft pick of the Chicago Bears, who's slated to be their starting left tackle. Well, he is probably done for the year after lingering back issues have now led to back surgery. And the Bears hope to have him back this season, but that could be overly optimistic. And now the team is scrambling to find a replacement. Jason Peters, the longtime, and I say longtime tackle of the Eagles, who was on the street turning 40 in January. He has been added to the roster as a potential fill-in, but the Bears will be scrambling now, especially after deciding not to bring back Charles Leno, the incumbent tackle of a year ago. Bad news for Chicago.
Wait, they cut Leno, who played every snap practically the last handful of years at a solid enough level, and he was at a below-market contract. It didn't make sense at the time. We first guessed that one. Like, we talked about that. They're like, why are they cutting Charles Leno exactly? Like, you want to have an extra tackle. And a lot of times after the draft, you slot in these rookies. You're just like, okay, that problem's set. You know, there's our second round pick. Left tackle solved. It's like, it doesn't, A, he might not play that well, and then B, something like this could happen. And it felt like an unforced error considering the other guys that they're paying a lot of money, like Jimmy Graham on this roster.
I'm with you. It's like, you definitely, I think you need to see tackles over the course of at least their first season to get a really good picture of who they are. And this was a player with known back issues. They trade up for him. The back issues of a different variety now show up. I think it's super concerning. Like, yeah, he probably won't play this year, but in general, like, back issues for a tackle that's not something that's going to just fade away in 5 minutes. Like, the Bears have done some very questionable things. I think Justin Fields helped them out hugely from a Q rating angle, but that front office is lucky to still be around.
Wonder if this makes them more worried about playing Fields, or you could say less because you want a mobile quarterback at some point. It shouldn't really have an impact, but if I'm a Justin Fields fan, I'm a little concerned about it.
I'd always be more worried about playing Andy Dalton, but I hear you.
It's fair.
And happy trails to Tim Tebow, cut loose by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that was a thing, and now it's no longer a thing. And also Josh Rosen, the former number 10 overall pick a couple of years back, who was not playing well with the 49ers and couldn't even win the third string backup job. So two former first round picks head into the sunset. That is what's happening in the news.
Hey, you guys.
What?
I actually have Lil Jordan Humphrey like on the line. He's like, here.
What?
Little Jay? Little Jay in the house?
Our guy? Okay.
You're joking.
No, like right now I'm going to put him in, okay?
Oh, Ricky. Look at you, Ricky. All right.
Here we go.
Wow, this is exciting. Excellent work, Ricky. Now joining us, the New Orleans Saints wide receiver, former Texas star wide receiver, and now he's looking to make a big impact in the NFL. Lil Jordan Humphrey, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast, Lil Jordan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so, all right, so this podcast is stupid sometimes, and we fall down these wormholes that we struggle to dig out of. And as you see, perhaps right now, I'm Dan, that's Mark, that's Greg. Those are three of the most boring white guy names imaginable. And then there's Lil Jordan Humphrey, who to me has the best name in the NFL going right now, and did the research, Your mom gave it to you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your mom gave you the name. It's not a nickname. Mm-hmm. It's a full name because your older brother said, name him Michael Jordan. And your mom was like, well, let's slow down. Let's pump the brakes on an MJ situation. Lil Jordan it is. Is that all check out or is Wikipedia failing me?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right, cool. So, like, do you go by Lil Jordan? Or what do your teammates call you? I'm just out of curiosity. Let's start there.
I mean, I go by Lil Jordan, LJ. Most people call me LJ because, you know, it just – I get the question all the time. That's your real name? That's your real name? Everybody thinks right. There's a nickname, but I just go by LJ to keep it short and simple, you know. But, yeah, Lil Jordan, my real name. I love to go by that, but I just keep it, you know what I mean, normal.
Do you run into trouble, let's say, if you were, like, you know, applying for – like a lease car, or maybe if you at some point were looking to get a job and had to write Little Jordan in like the very official boxed piece of paper, are they saying, what's going on here with this?
I mean, luckily I haven't had to like fill out any job applications for that. You know what I mean? And I can deal with right? that. But other than that, like I don't run into any problems. Just look at it. I show my ID, you know, and just it's an easy process. As long as ID is, it's got to be his real name.
I mean, you could take it two ways. Like your name's Lil Jordan Humphrey. You got to carry that on your shoulders, you know, right. Like you right. could either back down or you could become like a UT legend and be making this Saints team. So it must have given you something to live up to.
Facts. It did. It definitely did. I mean, I guess it's just that mother intuition. You know what I mean? She saw something special in me when she had me. So, hey, you know,
So did your mom start to get worried when you kept growing? Because this is the thing that's really been tripping me up, the 6'4" thing. Yeah. And it's like, everybody wants to be tall. Every guy wants to be tall. We don't all get to be tall.
Speak for yourself. I'm loving 5'5". Look at my happy life. Beautiful wife. Like, great career. It suits me.
Greg always wanted to be 5.5 feet tall, but everybody else wants to be 6'4". And you are. So at any point, did it ever cross your mind, maybe I need to make a modification here? And again, it's a little tricky because it's not a nickname. It's a birth name and it's from your mom. But once you go 5'10", 5'11", 6'1", 2", did it ever cross your mind maybe it's time to mix it up? Or did you like the kind of
big J,
the yin and yang of it all?
I mean, I never really thought about it like that. I know. I mean, I just got kicked in taller, but I was like, it's my name. So like, I'm never going, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I just never thought about it like that.
We're so stupid.
It is. Like, that's the thing. Like, why can't we just focus on the Saints wide receiver battle? Why do I keep getting hung up on the name? And so any adjustments like large Jordan Humphrey or not so Lil Jordan Humphrey? There's also one. What if it was kept Lil Jordan Humphrey, open parenthetical, who's actually 6'4", closed parenthetical?
Nah, I'm good on that.
All right, I give up. It is.
In all reality, it's just a name. You know what I mean? Just it's a little different, but hopefully, you know what I'm saying. I do enough just so like it becomes a normal thing. You know what I mean? So yeah.
I know. I'm sorry we're dwelling on it. I'm gonna try to move on. I am actually curious, Lil Jordan, LJ, about this Saints wide receiver room. It's kind of a weird, at least from our perspective with the Saints right now, it's kind of an unusual offseason in that there are so many question marks when they've been so locked and loaded the last few years. And one thing that stands out is you are an undrafted player. There are seven of you, I believe, that are fighting for big-time reps in that wide receiver room. Everybody knows Michael Thomas and that he's dealing with the ankle surgery, but there seems to be a real opportunity here for you to really make an impact in your third season here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great opportunity. Honestly, I'm just trying to seize that. And just by going out there, working every day, competing, and hopefully I'll find a spot on this team, the squad.
Right. You entered such a crazy situation. You know, you get to be there for the last year of Drew Brees. Now it's like a, you know, different quarterback room, although Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill were there before, but now they're battling for the lead spot. What I just got to be curious, as a longtime believer in Jameis Winston, what is that guy like in the locker room, like as your quarterback, as one of the leaders on this team now?
I mean, great guy. You know, somebody you can talk to about anything. He's gonna lead you in the right direction. He's also gonna have fun with it. So, he's a guy that you want as a quarterback, and same with Taysom. Like, I don't know. It's going to be a hard decision for coach to make that. You know what I mean? So
what if Jameis tries to eat the W again in the pregame huddle? Like, would he lose the team if he did it, or would people be like, oh, cool callback, man. We're in on it. Where are we coming down?
I doubt he'll lose the team, you know. That's just him. You know what I mean? He's different about how he approaches things. And
yeah.
You can't knock him for it, and because he brings energy when he does the way he does his thing. So I doubt that he'll lose the team. I think he'll bring some energy, bring a few chuckles, loosen people up and stuff. So yeah.
I know also at Texas that you you were a poet. You wrote a couple of poems that went, I would call, viral, semi-viral. What kind of poem will the Saints write this season in your mind?
That's a good question, Mark. Whoa, Sessler.
What kind of poem? Hopefully a great one. Honestly, I feel like we got the tools to have a great season. We just got to, you know what I mean, keep working, try to get better during this training camp, and, you know, just leave, just trust in the coach's plan and execute it at the best of our abilities, and I think we'll be fine.
What was your poetry style? Because I know Mark must have done this or he just saw that and felt a kinship. He is definitely the poet. He would love to go viral with a poem. It hasn't quite happened for him yet. Like, how did it
not?
I couldn't tell you the poem style. It's been a minute. I think I wrote it, 2017, 2018. But I just like to write sometimes, you know, just get my mind on some, clear my mind on the paper. So, yeah. I don't have a specific style. Let's say that.
Well, Lil Jordan, thank you for joining us. And I would like to make an announcement for anyone listening. Now that we have asked the line of questioning about his name, moratorium, no one asks LJ about his name any longer. It is what it is. He's not changing it.
Put it
he likes
bed.
It. He loves his mom. Get off his back. Let
not
him star on the football field. LJ Humphrey, Lil Jordan, thank you, buddy, and best of luck this season.
Good luck.
Thank you. So much.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Look at Richie coming through with the booking. There he goes. Lil Jordan, LJ, and Erica. Props to Erica. I was kind of joking, to be quite honest with you, when I said, let's get Lil Jordan Humphrey on the show, and then he shows up and roll with the punches. That was fun.
Yeah, thanks. The email I had to send to booking for why we wanted him, I was like,
yeah,
we're really interested.
He seemed to be curious if we were joking too for a chunk of it, but he was a good sport.
Well, I think five questions into the name origin, he probably figured out we weren't going to go in too many other directions with him.
Yes, he was indeed a good sport. Speaking of good sports, we have another guest now, and he is... the honorary mayor of Minot, South Dakota. North Dakota? South Dakota. North Dakota? Maybe he could help us out. And he is a longtime friend of the show, former colleague. Let's welcome him back. He's in the best shape of his life. Connor Orr, welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast. What's up, buddy? And is it North or South Dakota? I know you know.
Minot, North Dakota, right?
There you go. Oh, wait. You don't know either. Ricky,
oh, you are the mayor in waiting. What? How would you?
It's North Dakota. You know, okay. I have that inability to. You can convince me of anything, and so when Dan had expressed doubt at the beginning, I was like I have the frisbee sitting right behind me that I think says North Dakota on it, and you know, but yes.
I don't even know what I typed in. My naughty North Dakota. What are you? Can you spell?
That's
it?
A whole different place.
Oh, this predated Ricky, I guess.
What is
or
it?
She wasn't paying attention during
yeah,
that
yeah, there's
era
a solid 87% of our listenership that's probably not familiar with Minot, but it's one of the most important cities in the country.
Minot is a city in North Dakota, and for those not in the know, Connor once built a Madden franchise, or was it a college football franchise? Whatever it was, for EA Sports, his video games that he loves so much, and talked about it on the show, and then... Minot got all hot in the pants and sent a bunch of swag to us, and I think they gave Connor the key to the city. It got pretty wild.
The key to the city never showed up, and it led to this long festering conspiracy that I think at the time I was mad at Greg and I just thought he was keeping it. and not giving it to me. And so, like, for a long time, I was just like, God, this guy is just, like, you know, plays dirty.
What facts did you have to suggest? Like, nothing to support it. Based on zero.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, this is the chance to take it out and make the wrong right.
Yeah, I do remember that time that Connor was mad at me during his entire employment at the NFL. It was good.
The Greg manager phase. So many exciting times. But Connor, forget about Minot. Let's not forget about it. It's part of the show's history. We love Minot. But let's now spin forward. What is up with you, buddy? How you doing? What's going on? Are you professionally fulfilled? Are you personally fulfilled? Take us through it all.
Everything's great, you know. Sports Illustrated is great. The football preview issue hits stands in a week from now, which I think everybody should go by. And the MMQB podcast is a lot of fun. And we've gotten a lot of crossover listeners, which has been awesome. Like we've gotten emails from a lot of people from ATN that have bounced over there, and so that's been really cool.
Hopefully we haven't lost them. You're saying that they're listening to both. You haven't pulled them.
I've made them all sign agreements stating that they'll only listen to one podcast, which I've
so, wait, that's you, Jenny. Is Breer involved with this?
It's me, Bert. Jenny, and our senior editor, Gary Gramling, okay. Makes up the MMQB podcast. I think Albert has a show, a YouTube show now. So
no, it's
we're trying to appeal to the kids.
Think, yeah. That makes sense. So let me ask you this before we get into it, because fun seg, we're going to come up with team slogans. Heading into the 2021 season with Connor's help. But to me, at least if you're in our age range, and Connor, you're younger, but you're still, I think, fit under this. When you were going through J school and you had your dreams of being a big sports writer, the Holy Grail was, are you writing the cover story, the gamer for the Super Bowl for SI? Is that a possibility for Connor Orr as we kind of look forward? Maybe, I don't know about this year, but maybe in the next 5 years. Do you think you're on a path where you might write the Sports Illustrated gamer for the Super Bowl?
Is it possible? I would say this. The two people who do it now, Greg Bishop and Jenny Vrentis, are both very young and very incredible. And the work that they've put into that is staggering. And so I would say that, like, I would jump at the chance to do it one day, but I don't know where I fall in the lineage. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be born in the right royal birth order, and I seem to have gotten wedged in there. But I will say I've gotten to help a couple times, like and contribute some stuff, which was very cool. And yeah, I mean, just the amount of work that they do on that is staggering.
I mean, Jenny's sort of a mentor to you, Connor. So it would be you kind of having to take your mentor and throw her under the bus to get the assignment, which is dirty.
Right. Yeah. I think they're both young and trusting. I know them both a little bit. So I think they'd be susceptible to foul play. Just saying.
The thought has crossed. Yeah. I mean, the thought to sort of, you know, Frank Underwood, the whole thing has occurred to me. And it's just something that I'm keeping in my back pocket. I've lived the first half of my life as sort of a quiet guy, but that exists inside all of us somewhere.
That's Greg, our former manager, talking about how he has scouted who is vulnerable, who could be manipulated. Let's get into it. Do you have the key to the city, Greg? What about the producer that took our Stitcher? Does she have it?
I mean,
oh, that would be troubling.
That was, yeah, I think she was gone. She was gone by then. Did they promise you a key to the city and say they were going to send it?
They said it was mailed to Culver City, and it was never forwarded to me. The only reason I think I got some of the other stuff that was sent to me is I happened to be in the office on, like, that one time a year I would show up to re-sign my contract when that giant box came. And like, I got like tank tops, I got a koozie, I got pens, I got a Frisbee that was behind me, and like pretzels, like vanilla icing coated pretzels, which were just ridiculously good. Yeah.
Just to let you know, our mailroom, there are anecdotes of our mailroom. Dan knows a couple stories where they have hardcore flagged packages that have arrived and they've never really gotten to.
Well, they've ended careers.
They've ended careers. They've never. Yeah. Maybe they saw, you know, who is this this NFL scribe receiving a giant gold or silver key, we're sending this straight to your higher boss above Greg, who no longer is with the company.
That also checks out. Yeah.
Let's get to it. Team slogans for 2021. Connor, we're going to go through them. We're going to just kind of cycle through teams. And if you – this is – I sent a text to the boys yesterday, and I laid it out like this. You could have one slogan, 5, 12, 32. And we're just going to rip through the teams. And when you have a slogan, let me know. Okay? And we'll do it that way. And let's start in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. I'll get us going. Cole Beasley does not represent the views of the Buffalo Bills ownership or related properties.
Solid. They're like over 90%. That's long. That's long for a slogan. But I did notice, you know, their left tackle Deion Dawkins, who was in the hospital with COVID. He was partially vaccinated. Maybe the highest paid player on their team, other than Josh Allen, I think, and you know, one of their best players. And said he, not to take go too serious, but he was worried he might die. And so they asked him about Cole Beasley, and it's a tricky thing. And he played it pretty cool. He's like, you know, I respect anyone wants to have their own wishes, but I am so thankful that I was partially vaccinated, or I might have died. You wonder if like these things.
What does partially mean? Was he in between jabs, or did he just not get the second?
He got the jab at the start of training camp, like a lot of players did once they sort of were compelled to, and got COVID days later, or almost like immediately later.
I feel like the jab thing has become very commonplace now, and I don't like that. Does anybody else not like that? And they say, like, you got the jab.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
No, I can't.
It makes me very
uncomfortable. That's literally the first time I've ever said that. And even as I was saying it, I was like, I'm not going to say that ever again.
It's in headlines now. It's like Falcons, 100% jabbed.
I didn't want to take it too serious there, but that felt like a weird, wild story. Like, there are two of your biggest leaders on your offense. Like, you do wonder what kind of conversations happen in cases like that. Because they all had to have been pretty worried that Deion Dawkins is laid up in a hospital worried that he might die.
A mere 31 more teams to get through.
Up next, the New England Patriots. Anybody got one?
I did not do
it. Good job, guys. We're flying right now.
I didn't know. Why would we go through all 32 teams? I thought.
Why
I didn't
not?
Know,
you know what?
It's 32 teams here.
The teams you got.
When one shows up, it's a beautiful treat.
Yeah. I was workshopping one that I tossed out that I could just throw out there.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Just like now back to like now featuring the original recipe, or like now back to the original recipe or something
that
like
sounds
that.
Good.
You know, because it's like now they are once again like a boring plotting offense with like a quarterback who does nothing but release the ball on time, and you know, and everybody seems to love it, you know.
Mine would be more like something directed towards the fans, just from the team, just being like saying, don't cheer too loud when we bench Cam, everyone thinks we're racist. So that would be my slogan. Like,
yeah, mine is kind of the voice of the fans. Mac Jones, that's more like it. All right, Dolphins. Anybody? Dolphins. I got double the OCs. Oh, he's a GC. Little John Gonzalez, inside baseball callback.
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
GC, good call. John Gonzalez, Colleen's husband, has been trying to get that off the ground for about, 15 years?
In our circle, it's gotten off the ground.
Up next, the New York Jets.
I have one for the Jets.
What do you got?
Once you go Zach, you never go back.
Ooh.
After today, I kind of feel like it could be like, oh man, it's happening again.
Stop.
That's the slogan. tough day.
I don't really. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know what the slogan is, but I do like here in New York, like it's happening right before our eyes, where they're positing, they're juxtaposing Robert Saleh and Joe Judge, and like Robert Saleh is like this wonderfully calm, Zen human, and then Joe Judge is like screaming at everybody and yelling at everybody, and he has not backed down from that at all, and he's like, yeah, I don't yell at my players, and that has kind of continued, and it has been sort of the best. So like the slogan would almost be like best head coaching fight since.
Yeah.
Like Rex and Tom Coughlin, you know, where it's like we used to have that fun dynamic where it was like polar opposites, and I feel like we're back there again, which is
or just like
enjoyable.
Look at Big Blue, You know, if nothing else, I think they are the team you want to be right now in New York, the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still so brokenhearted about the Carl Lawson development here, but I think as a Jets fan,
I don't want to be around anymore. Right.
Just stay on the positive side of things, and I'll go with this for their slogan. The New York Jets. A boy will lead them. What do you think? It's like the music my aunt listens to.
It's like the start of a long journey. We've talked about him appearing to be a small, not small, because he's not small, but just a boy. I like it because it's like the beginning of a long adventure. You don't have to get to the end. You don't have to get to the Lord of the Ring yet. This is like the start of 9 hours straight.
A lot of boys are very disorganized. They're still figuring things out. So I hope that when you say boy, that you're not looking for the pure traits of a person who's not an adult to lead a franchise.
You get it, Mark. You have some biblical knowledge. I mean, a young child will lead them. We're looking at him as a Christ-like figure more than ever now that what's happening on the other side of the football.
I mean, this comes a week after you compared this to your Sam Darnold fetish and said, I'm not going down this road again. I'm more philosophical this time. And now you've compared him to...
I am trying to take a step back, especially after the news of today. I am, again, fully aware of the curse that my organization is still dealing with after the Joe Namath Super Bowl. Like, I understand that, so I'm trying to take a step back. But the organization, they need to get behind the young kid now more than ever. The AFC North, how about your Cleveland Browns, Mark?
I didn't do one for them.
All right. Anybody else?
Nice. No big
all right. How about this?
If I knew the format was going through all 32 teams.
Yeah, then, I feel grossly unprepared now.
I think it's fine that some get no attention. They're still workshopping.
They don't deserve a slogan.
How about for the Browns? Do you trust us?
Mm. Yeah.
I like that. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's where they're...
I got one for the Bengals,
too. Challenge.
Don't trust us.
Yes. Yeah. So the Bengals could just be check the dossier.
I have one for the Bengals, too.
I do, too.
It's a little bit more of an in-house slogan to everyone who works there. It says, please line up at the machine in the corner over there to punch your time cards each day at 5 p.m. Paychecks will be direct deposited or mailed in paper form on Fridays at 11 a.m. Just check the box.
That's
good. Just do your job.
It's good to get that information out there.
Low level.
It's like that's internal information, but it's also in case they miss like an email. If it's on like the media guide, they'll probably see it there.
Bingo.
Who else had one?
I just went with it's football because, like, you know, it's very like straightforward and legal.
Yeah.
Because like you're not promising anybody anything, and theoretically the product that you're putting out there is football.
Yeah,
so.
Stadiums downtown. I didn't realize like how much the stadium is very just downtown and walkable till. Being in Cincinnati this summer. It's just like, hey, what a great day. Good.
How about that?
It's
the
football.
Cincinnati Bengals. The stadium is downtown.
Why not? You know?
For Steelers, I had We're Still Here, Mark. And Connor, for that matter.
I like that a lot.
Mine is similar, but it's, if you thought our fans were obnoxious before, just wait until the Sevenge Revenge Tour.
Ooh.
It's not wrong.
Maybe just edit out the word revenge there upon reading it.
All right. For the Ravens, I had preseason is the reason for the season. And the Ravens are riding. Well, actually, we actually have a trailer that I wanted to debut on the show for the Baltimore Ravens because this podcast is very exciting.
In a world where exhibition football was mocked, diminished, and marginalized, one team had the guts to take a stand. 5 years.
The
18 victories.
Big rush coming. McSorley throws. Touchdown.
0 defeats.
On Banyan off the play fake throws. Intercepted.
The Baltimore Ravens simply won't lose.
means a lot. I mean, it means, you know, whether it's a winning streak or just the idea of how you approach the game. I just think it's a credit to the players in terms of preparation and coaches over the years in terms of we run a good training camp, an off-season program, and guys are ready to play, you know, good fundamental football. And that's what wins, whether it's preseason or season or whatever it might be. So
this August, the hay is in the barn.
The hay's in the barn.
How much fun is that?
Summer school is in session.
Makes the catch. Is he inbounds? Touchdown for Sean Perriman.
And the Baltimore Ravens are going streaking in the quad.
We're going streaking! Yeah.
Can they be beat?
Here they go up the middle. It's at the 15. Ball is drawn loose, and the Ravens have recovered it.
No fucking way.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
So long.
Streaking in the quad.
They better not go 1-2 now. I mean, shout out. That is amazing production work by everyone
Erica,
involved.
Beautiful.
Great, great voice. And great job by Rick Gosselin for pointing out the 18-game winning streak, because I don't think anyone even noticed other than him.
Amazing. You know how relieved John Harbaugh was when somebody brought it up? Like, he was just like, oh, thank God. Okay, let me talk
he
about
leaked
this.
It.
Yeah.
My slogan, we're not just crab cakes and Cal Ripken anymore, doesn't feel as like meaningful after hearing that video.
That was Jason Zumwalt, of course, on the voiceover.
Wow.
What a talent.
A talent, yep.
AFC South. Let's see. I got Texans. See you in 2025.
Yeah, I have a Texans one.
Okay.
The main slogan that you would see all around the stadium is called "Ride the Multicolored Turtle from Sheba" with an exclamation mark. And it's like, hey, so what does that mean? But in the small type, it says, every fan ages 3 and up receives a tab of LSD with their game day ticket. Place said tab under tongue during the national anthem. 1 in 16 becomes a gorgeous rainbow. We respect you.
Just so imagine, instructional.
Yeah, just imagine the billboard there. It's going all around the stadium. I love it.
I do like the instructional nature of your slogans, Mark.
I'm not very good at slogans, so I, you know.
I've got some Texans-related ones, which is okay. Just the 2021 Jacksonville Jaguars. We're not the Texans. I just think like that would be like a big hit. And then the Texans 21-21 slogan, which is just stop asking.
Right, right.
Just stop asking. Leave us alone.
Deshaun Watson's lack of awareness was outrageous when he kind of barked at a cameraman that was training the lens on him as he's walking off the practice field last week. It's like the same thing every day. What, like, upset that you're being put on camera. Dude, you're kind of a story, yeah. Whether you want to be or not.
Jenny Brandis, by the way, doing, like, incredible work. I am thankful for her. I'm thankful for...
She's all over this.
Companies like Sports Illustrated that don't have television deals, you know, with the NFL that are able to do this sort of reporting, because we get a lot of grief, and we've talked about this, you know, Deshaun Watson quite a bit, I think, but I think the NFL media gets a lot of understandable and needed grief for how, like, we've handled Deshaun Watson. But it's like if you have noticed, ESPN Pro Football Talk with NBC, like, everyone who are also employees of the NFL, because they're getting paid by the NFL because they're partners, their coverage is just as regrettable, I would say, would be my word. Like, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's on my radar.
For the slogan, like, so I imagined, like, you know, what the Texans need to do is lean into what they are beyond, you know, kind of the tire fire that's engulfed the organization, which is like they just have this hilarious old man as a head coach and who's just comically lost. And like I would drape on the sides of the stadium, like these large, like powerful pictures of him, like almost like Stalin in Russia, you know what I mean? And then
sure.
like just
Sean Payton in the year he was suspended, and then, those big posters.
True propaganda.
Do we get beeps on this? Can I say
sure,
something?
Let it rip, buddy.
Yeah. So it'd be like, you know, it's just like, it's Cully time, motherfucker. You know, like, really, like,
into it.
You know, like, everything's got to be like Cully, you know, like, it just like really bang the people over the head with it, you know.
You got to put the focus somewhere if you're management trying to get the fan base excited. Build it around Grandpa Cully. All right, AFC West for the Chargers. And this is like my mom's old thing where she says, If you say something you don't want to happen, don't spit in the skoy. Well, how about Chargers? What could possibly go wrong?
Are they saying that with confidence? Like, we feel confident.
Hey, what could possibly go wrong?
It has been a pretty quiet month, which gets to my Charger slogan, too, which is just, have you seen Justin Herbert? That's all. Just like, who
else?
That's
like an actual slogan they could use on a billboard here. Like, please.
It's like, Rams don't have Justin Herbert. Like, have you seen Justin Herbert? This is amazing. We lucked into this guy.
What about, don't make your season ticket package a business decision. Actually go to the games.
I went in a different direction there. I had for the Chargers, you had me at hello, because have you listened to Brandon Staley talk? Like, this
Thank
is the
you.
Most engaging human on planet Earth. Mm. Like, it's what's the line from Superbad? It's like the first time I heard the Beatles. watching their little snippet of, I'm the target audience there. I just melt into a puddle every time I hear like rapid fire coach talk. Like
you and
that.
Mark,
but,
he yeah. is right there.
No,
with
we're
you.
On, yeah. we're two peas in a pod with Staley, and I'm with you. He sold me on like that first round of pressers that he did. I was like, you know, listening to a beautiful nerd, and I don't mean like a bad version of a nerd, like the good aspects of a nerd.
On Sundays, you can literally run across from the office. I realized, like, I guess we should have known this, but it, like, the entrance is literally like 100 feet away from our office. You could just run over in the middle and watch your boy Brandon Staley.
Sounds chaotic.
I don't know if you could get in.
They'll have a, by the time we actually get there, I'm sure they'll have a 7-foot wall with barbed wire.
There is a wall
separating us.
There's a wall, but you know, you gotta move around.
Like, oh, do you have $175 to enter the stadium? No.
I got the Chiefs in this division too.
All right.
My Chiefs slogan is, be grateful for our existence. Just like, have some gratitude, Chiefs fans. You haven't had a playoff win in, what, 20-plus years before Mahomes. This is the best part. It's like why I always say week one is the best week of the NFL season, because you got the most ahead of you. It's like, this is still the best part of the Mahomes experience. You're in year four. You've already got a Super Bowl in your pocket. You went to another, like, everything is ahead of you. Just be grateful.
Well, can I just say, like, a lack of gratitude? Like,
I was going to say, at first I said, fair point. I said, what evidence does Greg have that the Chiefs fan base isn't grateful?
Just a good reminder. As the years, maybe I'm projecting.
Like a pre-scolding. It's a pre-scolding.
As a Patriots fan, like, the Patriots fan still had all that gratitude going into 2004, I would say. Like, that was the time where it started stacking these years up.
Oh, so you're looking ahead here.
Yeah, it really turned into obnoxious fan behavior around it, right around that.
All right. Let's move to, well, I have for the Raiders, if we stink, it's Mayock's fault, or maybe the QBs. All that deflection over in the desert. All right, NFC. NFC
whoa,
East.
Whoa. We're missing.
Whoa, you got one? You got another one?
We're missing the Denver Broncos, right?
Oh, what do you got?
You have to say it in the right voice, and I've kind of been practicing it a little bit. It's kind of like football, like mom used to make, you know, like it has to be like in a really like Italian voice. And I think the reason that I like it is because their coach is an old Italian man from Scranton. And like he's built this like dream vision of a team that like an elderly man from Scranton would build, like this unstoppable defense, a running game, a great offensive line, and perhaps a quarterback. We don't know. Like there might not be one, but in that way, it's sort of like if I'm going out, I'm going out exactly how you know I would my 90-year-old high school football coach would go out.
Connor's slogans all sound like. Like slogans, like they've been tested.
No,
you scored well with the fans and focus groups. I love it.
So that's why I didn't do a lot of them. But you know, the work that went into this, you know, was
or you're hitting
staggering.
Home runs.
Yeah.
You're hitting home runs.
Exactly. Yeah. You only play against lefty pitchers, but you mash. Your OPS is through the roof in your platoon role. In the NFC, let's start with the East. For the Washington football team, we can't have a slogan until we have a name. That's where I'm coming from. I know I'm not probably being outnumbered 3-1 on, oh, it's so cool, Washington.
Well, that's why
team.
That's why my slogan would be more leaning into it, which is more that we are the football team. Like,
well, that's pretty
they're
good.
They're the ones that
that's
matter.
Pretty good.
Well, they had a list of all the names they're considering. I'm not a fan of almost any of them at all. Like, I would stick with football team. Like, the rest
of
them,
if they win
the
division, they're not changing the name. I would put a sandwich on it. That's
a
kind of
We Are the Football Team, because I'm picturing it on a billboard and it's so stupid. But then you look at it and it's like, that's pretty good.
You got to bold it out. You got to bold the out, you know, or something, or make it all caps. The you know, you got to make that part exciting.
Yeah, I would just go with like, please don't call us the Defenders. Would be like the
right,
because that's gonna get so uncomfortable like right away, you know what I mean? Like,
about if the defense falls off a cliff and at some point is it the worst defense in the league for 5 years and your nickname is the Defenders?
Yeah,
ooh, yeah. That's a good point.
In your
face,
I don't
know who came up with some of these names.
In your face,
ones like the Red Pigs or the Red Hogs. Like, what do we come on here?
The Red Pigs, is that up for?
I like that a lot, and I don't think that's one of them. But Red Pigs would be fantastic.
Someone online photoshopped Terry McLaurin in a Red Wolves jersey. I guess Red Wolves was a thing, and like there's like these claws coming down, like bloody claws coming down his shoulders, and then their slogan it was like Washington Red Wolves. We won't concern ourselves with the opinions of sheep, you know. Because and I was just like, wow, like that would be so bad that it would be the best thing for the franchise. Like, that's what you do. You lean into the worst nickname of all time, and you just totally rebrand.
I really like that. I feel like the guiding principle should be, if the name conjures up an image of Jay Gruden as your quarterback, then you're not a professional, like, NFL-level team name. And go back to the shop. All right. For the New York Giants, Ricky, can you play the Mara clip from his recent press availability?
We're all in the hot seat. You know, I mean, with our fans in particular, we've given them too many losing seasons. It's time for us to start winning. But no, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that's an accurate statement.
The New York Giants, even the freaking owner is on the hot seat. No one's ever heard of that before. It's never happened. An owner has never been on the hot seat until the 2021 New York Giants. I believe it. I think he resigns in shame if the Giants go 7-10.
No
you
doubt.
Guys buy it?
Totally. He'd walk away from it all.
He's literally been saying this every year since I started covering the team in 2010, and there's like every year he comes out and does his yearly availability, and then someone says, is there a playoff mandate? And he said, we're all on the hot seat. You know? And, but a quick, like, boring story is, like, when Tom Coughlin was there, the big thing was every year he had a slogan, and it was terrible, and it was always, like, from some picture book he probably read on General Patton or something like that right before the season started. And,
picture book.
But it was, like, a very, like, frantic thing where it was, like, which beat reporter is going to be the first guy to identify the slogan? And, like, sometimes the players would, in the very early days of Twitter, like, maybe hashtag it, and then you're like, is that the slogan? And, like, you know, and then you'd get there, and it'd be like, burn the boats! Or, you know, we're going all in! Or, like, you know, secure the borders or something, you know, like one of those things. And
that's
and
what McCarthy did with the Austin Powers thing. He clearly watched that on Netflix and decided, oh yeah, mojo, that's our whole thing.
But which, by the way, if you had a whole off season to prepare a speech and that's what you came up with, like,
it's
like
not a good
and you knew you were going to be on Hard Knocks. Like, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm like, who the hell did I hire?
I think it's just it's human capacity we're dealing with there.
It's my number one takeaway from every Hard Knocks season is, has any one of these speeches ever helped any team at all? Like, think of the amount of man hours wasted. I'm sure maybe a couple of them have, but for the most part, think of like all the time that's wasted that's not helped anyone in one like degree, and they'd still just do it all the time.
Speaking of the Cowboys, anybody got one for them?
Ooh, I have one. I have offense not available in certain participating locations. Just because it's like, I guess it was like a way to get to the fact that like Mike McCarthy sort of lied about everything that he knew about offense leading up to this, and that sometimes they look really great and then sometimes they look like the 2011 Packers. And so depending on which game you attend, you really don't know what's coming.
So you're not buying McCarthy's epiphany year where he apparently went out and was, you know, downloaded into the motherboard like 88,000 other offensive concepts, and he comes back and it's just the same guy.
Don't forget about mojo moments, guys. You got to factor that into the offense this year.
he told Peter King, he's like, I'm going to hire 11 math guys. And like, and then you go to like the team website and it's like, where are the math guys? There's no, it's the same thing.
You got to be a subscriber to get to the math guy section.
Yeah.
He hired like 11 sixth grade math teachers at an area elementary schools and middle schools.
And even then they could teach him like, you know, hey, let's go for it on fourth down.
I've got the Eagles, which the slogan would be Sirianni, more like Siri Yummy.
Oh, okay. So,
all right. Just, haven't seen it in person
like
yet.
Lean into
the sex appeal you're saying?
Yeah, to younger women, to everyone, just like it's Siri Yummy.
All right, I like that. To Cowboys, I had Clean Gooch, Full Hearts Can't Lose.
That's money. That maybe,
and
just,
I
maybe
were
you get on Hard Knocks
to the word Gooch
that.
This week in Hard Knocks, but I was not familiar with that.
Really?
Thing. Neither was Dan, apparently.
No, was not.
No, I wasn't.
Huh.
That area of the body.
You're showing your age.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right.
Old,
I don't give a shit.
Well, we still day, have that area of the body, so she's. It's not like we aren't. We still are part of the experience.
I mean, I will give it to the youth of America. I actually like Gooch better than the other ones.
That's right.
I think you guys have hit on something here. Good job with everything else, too. NFC North. Anybody got one from the North?
Missing the Giants,
I have
by the way,
for
in the East.
I have two for the what? So what's that, Connor?
You're missing the Giants in the East.
All right, what do you got for the Giants?
We ain't got time to bleed.
Roddy Piper? No, Jesse
Predator.
Ventura.
Predator?
Yes, of course.
Just because I was there for the practice where Joe Judge freaked out and made everybody do laps and push-ups, and it was... It was phenomenal. It was like it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before in my life. And it
do
was
you
fantastic.
Think? Do you get the vibe that that's he's kind of messing with something here? He's in a little bit of putting himself in danger. Put it that way. In 2021, with this type of style, do you think this is going to work long term? Even long term being December.
This is the bellwether. I actually wrote this. That this is the bellwether for whether anybody else is going to try this again. Right?
Mm.
Like, he is the last guy, I feel like, if this doesn't work, then the tough guy coach goes basically out the window. Mm. Like, Belichick is the last guy that's able to do that. You know,
Judge.
Because you can't come in hot anymore and do that. You have to, like, in 5 years, everybody is going to look like Kyle Shanahan. Like, the official coaching uniform will change from, like, a polo to, like, a Patagonia sleeveless vest and, like, a checkered gingham shirt on the sideline. Like, everyone's gonna look like that guy, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing either.
No.
This approach works if you win. Look at Belichick. It's like, he gotta win. That's what matters the most. NFC North.
I got the Vikings, right? Which is,
what do you got?
You know, which is just, no, it's not COVID. Or like, oh,
how
it's
does
just
that
a cold.
Look on a billboard? How does that look?
Like, you know, just be like,
maybe
or,
it's like a video
or you could
board.
Say like, put your mask on. Our quarterback's about to call a play. You know,
what if like the Viking helmet or the logo or whoever their mascot is, and then it's just locked in a glass or a plexiglass cage like the quarterback wants to be. Like, you just kind of get
like
that out there. Imagery,
it's a visual, yeah.
I've got the Packers, which their slogan's going to be like, okay, 13-3 wasn't good enough for you. Watch this.
I have a Packers one too.
Just be happy.
With this Packers one, you'd have to imagine yourself in the stadium. This Elton John version of this song is blasting and the tagline is the bitch back.
Okay, that's good.
Our little
that's
complaining
short.
Quarterback is back in the house, but then you sell it in a different way.
I don't know how he's probably gonna put that on Gutekunst when he sees the billboard outside.
That, you know what? You know what?
Madison.
For all these people that are so hardcore on the other side, they can view it through that lens. It's really through whatever you want to see it as.
I like that. The Lions, you know, this is a rebuilding situation for the Lions, so you got to kind of look to find your positives here. How about Detroit Lions, we have the strongest coach. And then just leave it at that. They do. Physically, he's the strongest coach.
It's absolutely true. I mean, he is a guy, like, he looks good getting off the bus. They always say that about football teams. Why not your coaching staff?
Well, more and more so, I think that's true. My Lions one was, you could pair it with that if times get tough, but You can switch over to Little House on the Prairie after the first quarter if you wish. It's fine. We totally get it.
I love that you keep those Little House on the Prairie refs strong in the 21st century.
Mark. I was thinking it would be funny if one of the slogans and the lines I guess would fit for this was just like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. But that, yeah, that's mean. That's right.
I think it's more like, you know, we're trying the Mike Vrabel thing, you know, like Lions. Like, we're trying the Mike Vrabel thing, you know. Okay. And we're just, you know, see if they could do it, you know.
NFC South. I got one for the Saints. Do your job. Even if we didn't do our job reinforcing our roster in the offseason.
I have a Saints
big
one.
Big Sean Payton head. Yeah, Mark.
My Saints one is, FYI, we might kind of bite butt. TBD, just a heads up. And you kind of just have that as like a long banner that goes.
Why are so negative? My Saints one is, if you love the 2020 Pats, you'll love us.
Oh.
I was sort of saying the same thing, Greg.
That's what I mean.
I think we're all saying the same thing.
That's why I feel bad. We're all piling on a little bit.
I was going to say, like, please enjoy Sean Payton as the head coach of your 2022 Dallas Cowboys.
We're still connecting.
I love that. That's one of my favorite rumors. I do have a Panthers one, which is, who rules? Matt rules.
Thumbs up.
Sam Darnold better play along to make that billboard make sense.
Can
I had
quarterback
we could have had
throw to
Justin
the
Fields. I mean, I feel like that. You know, the fans are thinking it, so why not make it the slogan? Finally, unless you had one there in the South, Connor, I know you got to get going in a minute.
My Panthers one was just, can our quarterback throw to the left? We'll find out.
Finally, the NFC West. This is kind of a real one for me. The Seahawks, cook or die. This is it. Just lean into it. Give Russ 17 weeks, and if he falls on his face, you learn something about him, the offense, the state of this team. Cook or die.
Cook or die. I do like the short ones, I have to admit. Those just, they sing.
What else? I have a Niners one. You want a Niners one?
Yeah.
This would be on top of the big bell bottom. They build like a 100-yard long billboard that also goes up about 30 yards, and it just says, anyone smell a think piece? But I think what's going to happen with this team is it's going to be everyone, including me, everyone loves Shanahan. And when Shanahan does a lot of amazing stuff with Trey Lance, the fanboys, and it's kind of, I just feel kind of like something that I thought I liked a lot more than other people. Everyone's going to like Kyle Shanahan the same and write a billion by week five or six insane think pieces all over the internet about what he's done with Trey Lance and the revolution. And so that sign is just going to be like, you know, anyone smell a think piece?
We should do these slogans at the beginning of training camp. I feel like we're getting like a cynical fourth week of training camp. We're ready for the season to start a bunch of slogans. But I do have a 49ers one too. Mine is, this is going to be just like 2012 without that Harbaugh timeout.
I see a theme with yours as well, Greg. A lot of callbacks to past seasons. Some people will have to do maybe a Wikipedia search, but they'll connect those dots in time.
That's fair. The 49ers fans know. I feel like, it's directed.
I've got a Cardinals one, but I will need Ricky to bring it up for us if she's there.
Hey, a sailor. If you're looking for a good time with a team that feels destined to go 8-8-1, come on over, big boy.
That was the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just kind of selling what they are. Probably one of the most likely teams in the league to go 8-8-1 for the first time in NFL history. But it could be fun.
Remember our ATN intern?
Yeah.
What was his name or her name?
Kyle!
Kyle, that's right.
That's the slogan for the 49ers. Kyle! All right, Connor. You have a podcast to record.
Yeah, you got, and you should listen to it. You going to listen to it? You want to listen to it?
Right now, or?
Well, when you're done, you know?
Yes, what I'll do is this
comes out on Mondays.
I got to pick up my
kids. You're taping it Thursday to come out on Monday?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
cutting edge. What happens if anything happens at all between now and then?
We do add segments. We've done that. Sunday is normally like our wiggle room day, you know, just in
Very
case anything gets crazy, you know.
I'm going to give it a listen for your
that
sake.
That seems like okay. Well, yes, we're going to listen.
There's
You've
an
asked.
Entire week of preseason ahead. So if you're looking for, you know, slightly older content. I just tune in Monday.
Anyway, sorry, check Connor. It out. It is the MMQB podcast, I believe it's called, correct?
That's it. Yeah.
And follow Connor at Connor Orr. That's one N, two R's on the last name, one R on the first name. That just made it even more complicated to try to find him, but you'll find him. And one day he'll be the cover story for a Super Bowl gamer. I feel it, Connor. You're a hero forever.
Well, it was great to see you guys, and thank you for having me on. And let's all get together soon.
Please.
Now that we've all got the jab,
get the jab.
Everybody get the jab.
Yep. All right, there he goes, Connor Orr. There he goes, the iconic Connor Orr. Get him the key to the city, my not. If you're still listening, I don't know if the man in power, was involved. That was involved with the initial gift giving is still in office, but
a lot of political upheavals have gone down since 2015 or whenever that story was. Hopefully the Minot infrastructure is still in place because they were
why
good
not
people.
Minot.
He was an operative too. I don't think he was like the highest. I think he was a regular guy who listened to the show. So I'm not sure what his deal was. By the way, like Minot, North Dakota has some of the grisliest ties to the Son of Sam case that you will find anywhere, which I believe I've tried to get you guys. I've texted you all this before. No one ever responds. But now Netflix, I believe it's Netflix or Prime, has this Son of Sam's documentary. And Minot is featured hardcore in like episode 3. So if you are a deep diver, check it out.
All right. If I do get into
I don't
that,
want the key
I'll
to that city after what I saw. But yeah,
oh,
it's
really?
A tough spot when you like wake up on a Saturday and you see the 3-tiered Sessler tweet storm or text storm from like 1:30 in the morning the night before about the Son of Sam. Because it's like the next morning, like, do you respond then? It's like, why
no apologies even? For sharing my interest with my cohorts and friends. I'll step away from that.
Please never stop sending it. I yeah, don't always reply because whatever's going on mark time wherever you are sometimes just does not connect with what's going on in other people's times, so I can't really interface, but
I also
like
suspect you
portal.
Have me on mute in various formats at times, so
I've never had you on mute. Never. All right. As promised, before we go, you heard Chris in a little flashback to 2013 when he first, by the way, you didn't just hear Chris, you actually heard a little snippet of the producer that stole our Stitcher. That was it's a real
okay.
time machine.
I didn't
machine.
Know that. That's okay. what that was from. Got it.
And it's great to hear Wes's voice. And Ricky did a great job digging up the rest of what I believe is a early conversation about the famed Bengals dossier. So as opposed to playing out with our standard music play out, I will say this. Heed the call. And now we throw it to, you know, we hop in the time machine when we're all together. And Wes was explaining to us his divorce from his boyhood team. Take it away, Mr. Wessling.
Wessling, I couldn't help notice you came into the office today with a big file of 1987 paperwork like that. What is this?
Check out the highlights and underlines and everything.
So this is, wow, there it is.
That's the Holy Grail.
That is exactly what Wes has been speaking of. For weeks, he has an entire file. How do you describe it again?
It was a legal file folder when I used to work at a law firm.
Yes.
I had one of the legal files, but it's now in like a hanging file folder.
But what is it exactly?
This is my evidence for why I broke up with the Bengals about 15 years ago. It's various articles and research about how they ran their operation at the time and why I felt the need after they left me at the altar to not go back to their loving arms.
This is wonderful madness, Wes.
This is insane. He has highlighted articles from Salon.com places that...
Remember King Kaufman from Salon.com?
Don't even exist anymore. Some weird iteration of ESPN. He has a 1998 article from The Enquirer entitled Mike Brown's Contribution to the Lunatic Fringe.
How about Bengals charging $3 for tap water?
That's the most Bengals article ever.
I like how
you ever
clearly all these were printed up on a Netscape browser with a 56K dial-up connection.
Hey,
a library computer lounge.
I don't take sports loyalty lightly, and if you're going to break up with your team, I think you have to make a case.
Have they ever lured you back
to potential fandom, and then you've gone to visit this legal file for evidence of why not? No.
Were you doing this at the time, or then you decided, okay, I'm going to break up, and then I went back and printed all these out?
I would say half and half. Like, some of those articles are from 98 when I broke up with them, and then maybe by 2002 they were having another really historically awful season, and I thought, okay, maybe I have to remind myself of why I broke up with this team.
Did you ever present your case? Is there someone that you do present such a case to?
Well, every once in a while, there'll be some very short-sighted, ignorant fan who will have this opinion that you can never break up with a team, and they think loyalty is only a one-way street. The fan has to be loyal, but the franchise doesn't. And at that point, maybe I can go get my research and show them why exactly this. People forget, because the Bengals have had a few good years, how bad of an operation they were.
Right, it was a
for
dry
a long,
spell.
Long time. The worst operation I've seen in sports.
I have one that's accusing Mike Brown of breaking constitutional rights of freedom of speech. I have another, which I forgot about, where the Bengals, I guess, lightly threatened to move to Cleveland. Did you remember this at all? Something
no,
with
that
city
sounds
officials.
Outrageous.
People forget about
deals.
All the egregious things they did.
How can the Bengals threaten to move to another city with a team that already implanted?
No,
or was it during the.
Hey, look, I was hoping they'd go.
I'm looking at something here. Wes scrawled it in crayon that the Bengals and Brown were in the grassy knoll in Dallas, 63.
Well,
this
now
is madness.
We understand Wesseling's divorce from the Bengals better.
I don't.
Now.
I still don't understand. It actually leaves more questions than answers.
We can talk about this over beers.
We will, and we will. I don't know how we get back on track, because I want to dig through. Literally, I feel like we're not describing it properly. There's probably, 300 pieces of paper in that file?
Yeah, we will take a photo of this and send it out on our Twitter account, some highlights, and you guys can take a look.
Oh, boy.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.